May the Lord's Spirit be upon my lips. Please be seated. Some of you may know that on major holidays or major feast days and particularly important days of the church year, there is often more than one gospel lesson that can be chosen from for the day. That's true for today as well, for Maundy Thursday. We could have chosen either the passage which we heard, which is about foot washing, or we could have chosen another passage from Luke, which was about the Passover feast and what was the institution of the Eucharist, or what we remember as the institution of the Eucharist. And that's something we remember every Sunday, and often more frequently than that in the church. And that would have been probably a fairly easy passage to preach on and a fairly easy passage to deal with as a congregation. Instead, we chose the one about washing feet, which in a lot of ways, emotionally and otherwise, is much more difficult. When I was a young boy, probably Joseph's age, we used to go up every summer to a YMCA camp in Michigan, Twin Lakes, Michigan. And one day when we were there, all of the kids were rounded up at the end of the day for a family night, along with their families. We were all brought into the gymnasium, about as big as this room. And at one end of that gymnasium was a stage, probably this high off of the ground. And all of the kids were brought up on stage behind the curtain. The parents were all left out in front of the stage, standing around wondering what was going to happen. And all of us were brought in back and made to take off our shoes and socks and pull up our pant legs or whatever so that all that could be seen were bare feet. And then the curtain to the stage was raised about that far. So here is this line of about 25 pairs of very dirty feet. As you can imagine, running around at a camp in the middle of the woods all day long, all of these kids had remarkably filthy feet. And then the parents had to go and pick out their kids based on their dirty feet and not being able to see anything else. But I should say they did remarkably well. They certainly found us. I think they were used to seeing what our feet looked like when they got dirty. I tell the story because the whole issue of feet, and particularly dirty feet, has for probably as long as people have been around, been a big issue for a lot of people. Feet get dirty and smelly very easily, and it happens to all of us. It's probably very embarrassing for anyone to sort of expose the thing which is wrapped up in shoes all day long and carries all of our weight all day. There's a lot of emotion tied in with exposing this to anybody else. And this was certainly true at the time of this story. What was also true at the time is this was a Passover meal. And when people came to the Passover meal, the most important person in the room got to wash his hands first before the meal was served. Probably or possibly so that the water that he was using would not have been soiled by anyone else, so that he could be first. Another thing that was true was that feet were never washed by a host. Never. A slave or a servant came in the room. Everyone's feet were dirty. Even if you had just bathed earlier that day, the walk from your house to someone else's house in your sandals on the dusty roads there, by the time you got to someone else's house, your feet were dirty again. It was 2 minutes, and they were dirty again. So every time people would come to visit someone else's home, particularly for dinner, a servant or a slave would come out and wash their feet. Occasionally, if there was not a servant or a slave in the house, this was done by the wife or by the children, never by the host, under no circumstances. If there was no slave and no servant and the wife and children were not there, the feet did not get washed. The host never washed the feet of the visitors. So you can imagine, Jesus, we know, is one who turns tradition on its head regularly. We see this over and over again. This is a very radical man. And what he does in his life to demonstrate what it is God expects of us, and he expects of us, often turns all of the values that we have and that society or the world holds just completely upside down. And he does it again. Gets up, puts a towel around his waist, and then announces that he is going to wash the disciples' feet. This is a profoundly shocking announcement. And Peter, recognizing that this Jesus is his Lord and his teacher, says, "You will never wash my feet." What he said basically is, "I will not let you embarrass yourself by washing my feet." And Jesus instantly rebukes him and says, "If you will not let me wash your feet, you have no share in me." And what he has said to Peter is, "What I'm demonstrating to you is so fundamental to our relationship and to the relationship of those who would serve to the served that I must do it and you must accept it. If you cannot accept that I act this way, then you cannot act this way yourself. If you cannot see this one who is your teacher and your Lord allowed to serve in this lowliest of ways, then you cannot possibly act in the way I have acted." Peter gets it, and he gets it very fast. And so instead of just saying, "Jesus, go ahead and wash my feet," he says, "Oh, then my hands and my head too." And Jesus rebukes him again. Peter, he's such a likable guy for me because he screws up all the time. And Jesus sets him straight all the time. And it gives me hope. So he says, "Then my hands and my head too." And Jesus rebukes him again. Because Peter is pulling rank. He's now turned this into a major sort of spiritual event. And he's understood the symbolism that Jesus is engaged in. I mean, both the actual washing of the feet, which really shows Jesus' complete unselfconscious humility, but he also understands the underlying spiritual significance of this washing. And so Peter moves to turn it into a much larger sort of spiritual event. "My hands and my head also." In effect, he's sort of pulling rank. He's elevating this humble act into a much greater act, like a full baptism of the body. And Jesus rebukes him again. And what he basically tells Peter is, "Look, Peter, you are not superior to anyone, including anyone who you will serve. And what you need, which is to have your feet washed, is exactly what everybody needs. You need the same thing that everyone needs. And you must accept the same gift that everyone accepts. This is not above, you are not above and beyond those around you." So he's delivered two messages to Peter and to the disciples and to us. One of them is that we must be willing to serve the way he serves, which is without regard to rank or importance based on worldly values, but be willing to serve even the lowliest and humblest in the world's view. That means we need to be willing to clean the pus out of a wound, to talk to someone at length who everyone else has written off and no longer can deal with. It means we need to spend time with people who smell and who are missing teeth and probably will never amount to much in this life, because they are valued by Jesus, by God, differently than the world values people. And the other side of that same equation is that we are those same people. Not only must we serve without condescension, here is this holy and sanctified Christian now deigning or condescending to help someone who is much worse off than I am. We cannot have that kind of dissension. Jesus shows unselfconscious humility. We'll deal with anyone throughout his life. You see this over and over again. No need for false elevation. So not only must we deal with others without condescension, we must also be willing to ask for and accept help without false modesty. Peter must be willing to accept and realize that he needs exactly what everyone needs. To look at the way Mother Teresa says it, every one of these people who we serve is Jesus in all of his distressing disguises. And we must see Jesus in every one of those people. Or Edmund Browning, who was our presiding bishop when he was Bishop of Hawaii. One of the things that the Bishop of Hawaii does is an annual visit to the leper colony. And what the bishops had always done there was they would bless each of the lepers. And they did that by putting a handkerchief on their heads, and then the bishop would put his hands on top of the handkerchief and bless the leper. Now, we know enough about leprosy to know that no one in touching a leper is in jeopardy today of acquiring leprosy. But still, there was this distance between the bishop and the lepers, I guess, so as not to soil the hands of the bishop. Browning, to his everlasting credit, the first time he was brought to the leper colony, threw away the handkerchief and put his hands immediately on the lepers' heads and blessed them. The same lack of condescension in the approach is necessary for all of us. This is what Jesus demands of us. It's what he exemplifies for us in this story. And the other side of it, which is that we must realize that we each are also needy. To paraphrase Pogo, a comic strip of my youth, we have met the needy, and they are us. We are not better than they are, we are they. And so we must be willing both to serve with humility and also to admit our need to be served and accept that service without hiding from it, without hiding our need, without disguising it, without denying it. We must both accept service from others and give service to others, following Jesus' model. And finally, the reason today is called Maundy Thursday, because the word Maundy stems from the same root as mandate, means command. And it comes from the end of this section where Jesus has just washed the feet of the disciples, where he says, "I give to you today a new command, that you love one another. You love one another just as I have loved you." So the demonstration which he's just given all of them of the washing of the feet and the unselfconscious humility that he demonstrated in that, and also his rebuke of Peter to tell him to acknowledge his own need and that his own need is no higher or different than anyone else, including anyone that he could ever serve. This is how we are to love one another. And this is the command, the mandate, that Jesus gave us today on Maundy Thursday. Amen.
I realize that it's likely that very few of